Thank you for that special. Please open your Bibles to Acts chapter 13. Acts chapter 13, we're going to pick up at verse 6. And once you've found your place in Acts 13, verse 6, would you stand with me, please, as we read God's word together tonight. And when they had gone through the isle unto Paphos, they found a certain sorcerer, a false prophet, a Jew, whose name was Bar-Jesus, which was with the deputy of the country, Sergius Paulus, a prudent man, who called for Barnabas and Saul and desired to hear the word of God. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, as we look in the scriptures tonight and see these different men, where their hearts were, what their lives were like, what their desires were, I pray that it would convict our hearts, Lord, that you would give us a desire to hear and believe and obey your word. Father, I pray that you'll help me and that you'll help all of us to get the courage and encouragement that we need tonight, that we can be faithful to you in the face of opposition that may come from within or without in our lives, that we'll be faithful to do the work that you've called us to do. Lord, we pray that by your grace, by the work of your Spirit and through your word, we would see fruit, and we would see fruit that remains for your glory. Please help us to be genuine disciples, making disciples for your glory. We pray it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. So we saw in the earlier verses this morning how that those leaders there at Antioch were fasting and they were praying. The Spirit of God was moving. They were doing spiritual ministry, doing that work and serving the Lord in spiritual matters, and how the Spirit of God spoke to them and sent them on mission, and they went out on mission. I do want to correct something I said this morning. The things I said about, see, everybody pays attention when I say I want to correct something. Got everybody's attention. I said this morning that Antioch was the central place of worship of Venus. That's actually wrong. That's Paphos, not Antioch. I got mixed up this morning. I apologize. It will happen again. When you apologize, you're supposed to say it won't happen again, but Paphos was that place. Now, to the point, Antioch was a place of pagan worship like most of the cities in that region, just to excuse myself a little bit, but I did misspeak. Venus, the place of worship there was at Paphos, was really the seat of Roman government, and I got my my studying mixed up in my brain. So there you go. So when they had gone through the isle unto Paphos, they found a certain sorcerer, a false prophet, a Jew, whose name was Bar-Jesus. In these verses we're going to look at tonight, verses 6 through 13, we're going to see three men. In particular, we're going to focus on the first man, Elymas, the sorcerer. We're going to talk about Sergius Paulus, the governor. So we've got the sorcerer and the governor. And at the end, we're going to see a little bit more about John Mark, the helper. Remember, they had John, whose surname was Mark, to their minister. He was their helper in this first missionary journey, if you will. So the sorcerer, the governor, and the helper, we're going to see about those men here tonight. In verse 6, when they came to this place, they found a certain sorcerer, a magician, if you will, a false prophet who was a Jew. His name was Bar-Jesus, and he went by Elymas. Look at verse 8. Elymas, the sorcerer, for so his name by interpretation, withstood them, seeking to turn away the deputy from the faith. So this man, Bar-Jesus or Elymas, his desire, his purpose was to stay close to the deputy, which would be the governor of that region. His job in that area, that region, was the same job that Pilate had back in Jerusalem. So most of you are familiar with Pilate, how he was the deputy of that region, the governor of that area. This was the man who was the governor or the deputy of this area around Paphos. So that's who he was. He was a chief man, a ruler, a deputy, a governor. And Elymas the sorcerer stayed close to him when the missionaries or the evangelists come to town. And his desire, what he was seeking, was to turn the deputy away from the faith, because he knew what was coming. He was a demonic man, and he knew the power of the gospel, and he knew what impact it might have if the deputy, the governor of that region, came to faith in Christ, what that could do for his demonic purposes. And so he was set in his heart. I want you to consider his name. There's a couple of different ideas of where the name Elymas comes from. It's unique to this verse. Some people believe it's from an Arabic word, Elaman, which means wise. Other people think it comes from an Aramaic word that means powerful. And I wonder if this demon-possessed man didn't like both of those things, and to be considered Elymas the sorcerer, the wise and powerful one. Listen, he loved the attention. He loved the power that he had, his ability to trick people and probably some demonic power that he had. And he was a magician, a sorcerer, claiming himself to be wise and powerful. And did you notice his name, Bar-Jesus? Bar-Jesus? In the Hebrew, the prefix bar means son of. So his name was son of Jesus. Some of you might remember what the name Jesus means. It means salvation. And so his name was Son of Salvation. He was the wise and powerful one. And be sure, through the power of Satan working through him, he deceived many and had turned many away from the faith. And now he's seeking to turn this deputy, this governor, away from the faith. I'm going to tell you, that's always going to be. Always going to be Satan's desire is to take glory away from God. He's a counterfeit in every way. He's a counterfeit in every way. Jude, verses 24 and 25. Jude, verses 24 and 25. I'll let you find the chapter. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen. There's only one who has all power. There's only one who has all glory. There's only one who has all wisdom, and it's our Savior, Jesus Christ. But this man, this demonic man, had a desire to take the glory from Jesus Christ. He wanted to claim some kind of wisdom for himself, claim some kind of power for himself, but all glory and all power and all honor belong to Christ alone. Amen. We go back to Isaiah 14. Isaiah chapter 14, verses 12 through 14. The scripture says in Isaiah 14, 12, "How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mountain of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High." Lucifer lifted up with pride. He wanted to take the wisdom and the power and the glory that only belongs to God. And this man, Bar-Jesus, this man, Elymas the sorcerer, is a pretty good representation of Satan. Pretty good representative of the kingdom of Satan. I want you to notice he was a false prophet. What's that mean? It means that he had a spirit, but the spirit wasn't of God. We're to try the spirits to see whether they're of God. He had a spirit, but his spirit wasn't of God. He had prophecy, he had messages, but they weren't from God. And listen, it's nothing new. We read about it in the Old Testament over and over. Especially think about Jeremiah's day. There were so many prophets who were prophesying, and they had a spirit, and they had a message. It just wasn't from God. Amen. And Elymas was the same. I want you to notice that he was with the governor. He was with the governor. We're warned in the scriptures that we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against wickedness and spiritual darkness in high places. I want you to know that it's nothing new to have demonic forces at work in places of government. It's going on today, and it's been going on throughout the centuries. That Satan understands the power and influence that government has. And Satan, all the way back, you can look to the king of Tyre and the king of Sidon, and you can go all the way back through the scriptures. You can find men who are influenced by Satan to lead nations away from the truth of God. He was with the governor trying to influence him. And he withstood them, verse 8 says, seeking to turn away the deputy from the faith. Sometimes I think that we don't have good discernment about people. Sometimes we don't have good discernment about whether they are for the things of God or whether or not. I think sometimes if we're not careful, we can be deceived. Amen. I think it's why we need to consider people's motives. Amen. And what people are doing. Is it bringing people to faith in Christ, or is it turning them away from faith in Christ? Amen. We need to consider what we do, what we say, how we live our lives. Is the way I'm living and the things I'm saying, the things I'm doing, is it helping people to come to faith in Christ, or is it keeping them away from coming to faith in Christ? This man, he had a desire to turn them away, to turn this deputy away from the faith. So we have the sorcerer. Next, notice the governor. Notice the governor. With verse 7, there was the deputy of the country, the governor, Sergius Paulus. And the scripture says he was a prudent man. That means he was an intelligent man. He was an intelligent man. He was an intelligent man who called for Barnabas and Saul and desired to hear the word of God. I'll tell you this, the Bible likens somebody who is smart, someone who's intelligent or prudent, to someone who wants to hear the word of God. So Elymas, his desire was to keep the governor from the faith. The governor's desire was to hear the word of God. And can I say, it's a smart thing to want to hear the word of God. People in this world today, you need to understand this. A lot of people in the world today that would look at you people here on a Sunday night listening to this ancient book, listening to this bumpkin preacher, and consider you all to be very stupid because you would come and listen to the Bible. A lot of people in this world would consider you to be very unintelligent because you believe the Bible is the Word of God. A lot of people in this world would think that you're just an idiot because you believe that there's a God in heaven that you can't see, who's invisible, who created everything. But I'm going to tell you what, it's not stupid. It's not idiotic. It's not dumb at all. It is all the wisdom that you could have is to believe the word of God. Amen. All wisdom comes from him. This man was an intelligent man. His desire was to hear the word of God. And so he calls for the evangelist. He calls for Barnabas and Saul to come to him to preach the word of God. But there was a problem. This wicked man, Elymas, stood in the way. And so let's continue at verse 9. Then Saul, who is also called Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost, set his eyes on him and said, O fool of all subtlety and all mischief, thou child of the devil, thou enemy of all righteousness, wilt thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord? And now, behold, the hand of the Lord is upon thee, and thou shalt be blind, not seeing the sun for a season. And immediately there fell on him a mist and a darkness, and he went about seeking some to lead him by the hand. Amen. Elymas the sorcerer, his whole desire in this passage of scripture is to turn the governor away from the faith. You know that he had some power. You know the demons had worked through him. You know that he had had some influence. You know that in his efforts to turn people away from the faith, he had had some success. But now he comes up against something that he had not come up against before, and it was a spirit-filled man of God. And when the man, Paul, filled with the Spirit of God, he saw the man, he saw through all of his lies, all of his deceit, all of his trickery, and he saw him for what he was, as a child of the devil. He saw that he was full of all subtlety and mischief. He saw that he was full of wickedness. He saw that he was an enemy of all righteousness. He saw how he had continually lived his life to pervert the right ways of God, and he called him out on all of it. Amen. You know, I just tell you, there comes a time, sometimes, when it's important for Christians to speak the truth. Amen. And to stand up against unrighteousness and call it what it is. Amen. We're not going to be able to do that right. We're not going to be able to do it at the right times and in the right ways unless we are filled with the Spirit of God. Amen. So here's the reality. About the only time you and I ever tell like it is, you know, tell them how the cow ate the cabbage, right? But the only time we ever do that is when we're in the flesh and we get mad. We get angry. But I'm here to tell you tonight that the Apostle Paul wasn't mad. He wasn't angry. He wasn't in the flesh. The Bible says he was filled with the Spirit of God. And what he said was harsh. And what he said had some bite to it. But it was exactly what he needed to say. And he did it in the power of the Spirit of God. You and I need to be Spirit-filled, because I want to tell you this. A lot of Christians in America today are cowards. Amen. And we don't speak the truth, much less in love. And by the way, if you're not speaking the truth, there's no love. Amen. We have got to be people who are filled with the Spirit through fasting and prayer and being yielded to God. We have got to be people who are willing to stand up and say the truth about sin and unrighteousness and those who are trying to turn people away from God. Not everybody's going to be your friend. I'll let that sink in, because some of you are going to have a hard time with that. Not everybody's going to love you when you say the truth. Not everybody's going to appreciate you taking biblical stands. Not everybody's going to appreciate it when you stand up and call someone out for standing in the way of the gospel. For someone who's trying to turn people away from the truth of God, when you stand against that and when you call that sin out, some people aren't going to appreciate that. As a matter of fact, some people are going to hate you for that. Amen. But don't be discouraged. They hated Jesus. Amen. And the more you live like Jesus and speak the truth of Jesus, the more they're going to hate you. Right. Listen, I, every time I say things like this, I know there's some people that have a hard time with it. Because they're like, well, listen, we shouldn't be antagonistic. You're right. You shouldn't go out with the purpose of trying to get somebody to spit in your face. It's like that should not be your goal every day. But I'm telling you, our goal should be to speak the truth in love. Amen. And sometimes, you're going to face opposition. I've got this theory that the more we go in the power of the Spirit to do the work of God, the more we're going to face opposition. And listen, Satan doesn't have to raise up Elymases to go against us if we're not going out and preaching the gospel. There's no need for him to raise up opposition if we are opposed to the gospel ourselves by not going and telling people. So we've got to go do the work. And when we do, we'll face opposition. But Sergius Paulus, the governor, had a desire to hear the word of God. But the Apostle Paul, filled with the Spirit of God, saw the opposition, dealt with the opposition, and he cast the judgment. He just called out the judgment that the Lord told him that the man was going to be blind. Listen, Paul didn't make the man blind. He said, the hand of the Lord is on you. He just happened to be filled with the Spirit and knew what the Lord was going to do. And he told him, the hand of the Lord is on you. You're going to be blind. And now this man who had all this power and all of this influence and all of this success in his efforts to turn people away from Christ, now he is stumbling around the room begging someone to take him by the hand because he can't see. Can you imagine? Listen, you don't want to read too much into the text, but I believe Elymas was terrified. Amen. I mean, can you imagine? You imagine these guys come in and all you know, the demons let you know that these guys are going to preach Jesus and you're trying to turn Sergius Paulus away. And the next thing he says is he just runs you down the list. He just runs you through the ringer, tells you exactly who you are and what you're all about and says, and by the way, you're about to be blind for a time. Amen. And immediately the lights go out. And I can't even imagine. I can't even imagine. Well, the opposition, by the power of the Spirit of God, is out of the way. And verse 12 says, then the deputy, when he saw what was done, believed. Being astonished, listen, being astonished at the doctrine of the Lord. You know, when I read this and I'm reading through Acts, when I get to this part, I expected to say being astonished at the judgment of God or at the blindness of Elymas. at the miracle that was, you know, something about that. But you notice what astonished him? It wasn't that Paul was able to say, you're about to be blind, and he turned blind. What he was astonished at was the doctrine of the Lord. What does that tell you? That when the governor wanted to hear the gospel, Paul and Barnabas were happy to oblige. Amen. And when they got the sorcerer out of the way, they were able to preach the gospel to the governor. And when he saw the power of God, he believed. But what really astonished him was the doctrine of the Lord. What is that? It astonished him that God became a man. It astonished him. He was amazed that God became a man, that Jesus of Nazareth was sent from God. He was amazed that Jesus of Nazareth was tempted in all points, like as we are, yet without sin. He was amazed that Jesus, that son of a carpenter, was the son of God, and that he lived a sinless life, and that he was willing to go and die on the cross to pay for our sins, that he was the Christ, the Messiah, promised through all the Old Testament scriptures, that he was the fulfillment of all the law and the prophets, that he was the ultimate sacrifice once for all. And Paul and Barnabas preached to the governor the gospel of Jesus Christ, and he was astonished at the doctrine of the Lord, that God became a man, lived a sinless life, died on the cross for the sins of all people, and rose again the third day and ascended up to heaven. He was amazed that they were eyewitnesses of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was amazed that you could be forgiven of your sins by believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. He was astonished at the doctrine of the Lord. And here we are tonight, asleep at the doctrine of the Lord. I'm going to tell you this, friends, when we get to the place where we're not amazed by Jesus anymore, we've got some praying to do. Can I ask you a question? Is his grace still amazing?
Amen.
Is the doctrine, is the fact that God became a man, is that alone, the incarnation, is that not amazing to you?
Amen.
That where Adam was disobedient, Christ was every way obedient. Is that not amazing to you? Is that not awesome to you? That his mercies new every morning. That when he died on the cross, he took our guilt and nailed it to his cross. That if you've put your faith in Jesus, you are forgiven. That you're a child of God. You see, I look at what accusation Paul made against Elymas, and I see who I am without Christ there, full of subtlety and mischief, a child of the devil, the enemy of righteousness, perverting the right ways of the Lord. That's me without Jesus.
Amen.
That's not just some magician, sorcerer, demonic person. That's all of us without Christ. And now I'm filled with the Spirit of God.
Amen.
I'm clothed with the righteousness of Christ. I'm not a child of the devil anymore. I'm a child of God. I'm not an enemy of righteousness anymore. I belong to Jesus. And now, by his grace and by his Spirit, I have the opportunity, the ability through his Spirit to walk in ways of righteousness. And not pervert them, but proclaim the ways of righteousness. He believed, being astonished at the doctrine of the Lord. So we see the sorcerer, we see the governor, and last, very quickly, I'd like for you to see the helper. Now, when Paul and his company loosed from Paphos, they came to Perga in Pamphylia, and John, departing from them, returned to Jerusalem. The helper. John Mark had gone with them on this journey, but when they get to Pamphylia, he goes home. We don't know exactly why he went home. There's some historical things about that area of Pamphylia. It was a mountainous region. It was full of thieves and robbers. It was the kind of place where someone traveling might get mugged and left for dead. Some people speculate that it was just dangerous and he was scared. Some people think that he just got homesick. We don't really know exactly why he went home. We just know that he did. And we know that the Apostle Paul had a problem with it. Look at Acts chapter 15 and verse 36. Acts 15, 36 through 41. And some days after, Paul said unto Barnabas, "Let us go again and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord and see how they do." And Barnabas determined to take with them John, whose surname was Mark. But Paul thought not good to take with him, who departed from them from Pamphylia and went not with them to the work. And the contention was so sharp between them that they departed asunder one from the other. And so Barnabas took Mark and sailed unto Cyprus. And Paul chose Silas and departed, being recommended by the brethren unto the grace of God. And he went through Syria and Cilicia, confirming the churches. Now, we'll get to this in a few weeks and dig into it a little bit more. But suffice it to say, whatever the reason John Mark went home, Paul didn't think it was a good reason. To the point that he would argue with Barnabas, and the contention, the division, would be so sharp that they could not reconcile. Barnabas was absolutely determined to take John Mark with them, and Paul was absolutely determined that there was no way he was taking John Mark, because he went home and he didn't continue and go on to the work. I want to tell you that there is opposition to moving forward with the work of God from without, from people like Elymas the sorcerer. There's also can be discouragement in opposition from within, with people who don't go to the work, like the helper, John Mark. Amen. It's discouraging. It was discouraging. Now, like I said, we'll get into it a little deeper later on, and I'm sure even among this crowd right now, there's some opinions about it. Some of you are probably thinking, listen, Paul was too harsh. You know, maybe John Mark is just a young guy, maybe he's scared, maybe there was some reason, and he should be more understanding and more compassionate like Barnabas. And others of you might be more like Paul and say, listen, there's work to be done. He made a commitment to go. He should go. There's no reason to be scared. There's no reason to turn back. He should have had faith. He should have trusted God. He should have went on with them. And we would probably, if we had been there and heard Barnabas and Paul arguing about this later, we probably would have taken sides. But I tell you this, either way, it's discouraging when people quit. Amen. And it's discouraging when people won't go to the work. Amen. You see, God never intended us to do this work alone. Amen. God never intended for us to do this work alone. Amen. There's a reason he put together bodies of believers. There's a reason that he wants us to be fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth. There's a reason that he wants us to edify one another. There's a reason that he puts us all together in one place to do the work together, because we are supposed to strive together for the faith of the gospel. We're supposed to be laborers together with God. We're to do the work together, ministering to the Lord by ministering to other people. But there was opposition. We see the sorcerer, we see the governor, we see the helper. But I thank God for the workers. Where would we be today if it wasn't for men like Barnabas and Paul? What would have happened to the gospel progress, to the work the Lord called them to, if they hadn't continued? And you know what the difference is? I'm going to give you my opinion. John Mark, filled with the Spirit, doesn't go home. When he's filled with the Spirit, he doesn't quit. When he's filled with the Spirit, he keeps going to the work. And you and I, if we're not filled with the Spirit, it's going to be really easy for us to quit. If we're not filled with the Spirit, it's going to be easy to go home. If we're not filled with the Spirit, we cannot do the work that He's called us to do. So I think the answer for us today is to live our lives seeking to be filled with the Spirit of God. You want to know how to do that? Pray and fast and yield yourself to God completely. Fill your heart and mind with the Word of God, and you will be filled with the Spirit. Let's stand together. Will you pray with me while our musicians are coming? Merciful Father, I pray that you would forgive me for the many times I live my life in the flesh and not filled with the Spirit. I pray that anyone hearing this message who's never been born again, that the Spirit would come into them as they repent and believe the gospel, that they would have life through faith in Christ, be indwelled by the Spirit, that your Spirit would bear witness with their spirit that they are children of God. I pray for all of us who are saved, those who have been placed in Christ through faith, that you would help us to die to ourselves and to be filled with the Spirit every day. Lord, help us to be men and women who fast and pray, men and women who fill our hearts and minds with your Word, and that we would live our lives filled with your Spirit. Please convict hearts now in this time of invitation. Your will be done in all of our lives, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.